Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock, part of the Strange Society Network. Follow them at StrangePodNet on Twitter for all your macabre podcasting needs. I am Johnny Numb, and tonight on another solo episode, I'm going to talk about Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, which premiered on Netflix on May 22nd. Well, okay, that's not entirely true. I'm going to be talking about alternatives to Army of the Dead, movies you can add to your streaming queues if you haven't seen them yet, or things you can revisit if you've seen them already. As you might guess, I wasn't the biggest fan of Army of the Dead, and my co-host Billy Crash was not either, and took some interesting comments from people on Twitter regarding his take on the film as what he considers to be the worst of 2021 so far. So, in any case, like many others, I watched the movie, obviously, and while I was watching it, I thought about writing a review, but as it progressed through its 2.5 hour runtime, I found my thoughts splintering into something beneath critique and analysis. Honestly, for all of its violent excess, there's not much to this movie once all the CG blood's been wiped off the camera lens. Even the handful of elements that seem fresh or refreshed don't go far enough to make us forget the superior zombie films and films in general that influenced Snyder and his co-writers Shea Hatton and Joby Harold. So maybe I will wind up reviewing Army of the Dead by proxy as I go through a list of films you should check out instead. So let's start things off with Shocking Dark from 1989. Many critics drew parallels between Army of the Dead and James Cameron's Aliens, and while that's very valid, I think Shocking Dark is a lot more fun than Aliens, and certainly a lot more fun than Snyder's film. It's an unabashed ripoff of Cameron's Aliens and also The Terminator, and it was even released in some places under the title Terminator 2, and this was 2 years before the actual, you know, James Cameron's actual sequel to The Terminator came out. It doesn't have the self-seriousness of a James Cameron film. It comes from Bruno Mattei and writers Claudio Fragasso and Rossella Drudi, who wrote many films for the many Italian films that were just literally ripoffs of or hybrids of what was popular in the United States at the time. You know, you look at the film Robo War, which is a hybrid of Predator and RoboCop, stuff like that. And Shocking Dark is just a lot of fun. It has no delusions of grandeur. The characters are fun, and yeah, just a really good time. I saw it on the big screen at the Colonial Theater Splatterfest a few years back, and it was just a ton of fun to see it with a crowd. But that being said, it's fun to just watch it by yourself too. Severin put out a great Blu-ray of it a few years back, which I'd highly recommend checking out. Okay, next we have Resident Evil Extinction from 2007. Okay, Army of the Dead takes place in Las Vegas following a zombie outbreak. And similarly, perhaps too similarly, Nevada was the setting for Russell Mulcahy's entry in the Resident Evil series. Mila Jovovich's Alice leads yet another ragtag group of misfits and mercenaries against the undead onslaught from the Umbrella Corporation. Personally, I'd rank Extinction as the best Resident Evil movie, probably the most fun, in my opinion. And this, I would say this explains why it seems like a prime influence on Snyder and company. It basically feels like Army of the Dead used Resident Evil Extinction as a template at the screenwriting stage. Okay, next up. Now, I know this film has garnered a lot of contention among horror fans for various reasons, and also fans of the book, which it doesn't bear much of a resemblance to, and that is World War Z from 2013. It was a really troubled production, but I think it turned out pretty well. It's more of a globe-trotting adventure than a flat-out horror flick. And like I said, I think it ended up better than it had any right to be. It's not great by any measure, but it does have sort of a very global feel to it. Very, very epic. You get a sense of scope that you don't get in a lot of zombie apocalypse films. And now, granted, this had, Paramount was the studio and Brad Pitt was the star and producer, so this film obviously had a lot of money behind it, whereas a lot of zombie films that we know and love were scraping together, scraped together with whatever resources the filmmakers had, and usually done on much lower budgets. And Army of the Dead's vision of a zombie-infested Las Vegas, walled in by shipping containers, directly recalls the Jerusalem set sequence where the dormant zombies lingered outside of a giant wall. It's the only thing that's missing from Army of the Dead is a scene where the where the shamblers pile on top of each other to get over the shipping the shipping containers. Okay, next up we have Mad Max Fury Road from 2015 to Okay, it's not 2:15 in the afternoon. It was from 2015. I'm sorry. And this was George Miller's return to the Mad Max universe. It had been, after 30 years, 30 years after Thunderdome. And in particular, this comparison struck me because the character of Lily, also known as the Coyote, who's played by Nora Arnazetter in Army of the Dead. She's basically a bottle blonde variation of Charlize Theron's Furiosa, who obviously is a very became a very iconic character because of Fury Road, and arguably was more the focal point of the film than Tom Hardy's Max. I mean, throughout Army of the Dead, I was thinking to myself, someone give the Coyote and Furiosa a crossover film with Mila Jovovich's Alice. Now that would be something I would love to watch, and I think it would be great. Get Paul W.S. Anderson, get George Miller on the phone, make it happen, Hollywood, please. The next film is George Romero's Day of the Dead from 1985. While Army of the Dead feels more in line with the romp of Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead stuck out to me more because of the jaded Warlybird pilot, John, who was played wonderfully by Terry Alexander in that film. Excuse me, I kept thinking John would make a fine foil for the sarcastic chopper pilot Peters in Army of the Dead, who was played by the wonderful Tig Notaro, the comedian. And this is the first time I'd ever seen Notaro in anything. I'm not familiar with her comedy, but this film made me really want to check out more from her because she's the for the few minutes she's in this film, it's easily some of the best moments of the film belong to her. So I was thinking about Day of the Dead. And okay, maybe following suit from Day of the Dead is Land of the Dead from 2005. And this is the film where George Romero kind of faced some unfair and impossible expectations, because this was him returning to his zombie series 20 years after Day of the Dead. And the critical and fan reaction was mixed. I feel like everybody was very enthusiastic about the film before it was released, and then when it finally was released, I think maybe there was a case of expectations sort of getting the better of folks, and it was hard not to. I think it's a film, to me, that has aged really well and still holds up in the way that Romero's prior Living Dead films hold up. I think because he, you know, as he himself said, you know, I would do one of these each decade and it would speak to that decade overall. And I think with Land of the Dead, he does achieve that in the same way that Night and Dawn and Day achieved similar sentiments about their respective decades. And it's also a film that just has more to say about the repercussions of greed and the pathos of a severed zombie head than anything in Army of the Dead. And Big Daddy from Land of the Dead is way cooler than the zombie in the Iron Mask. Just had to say that. Next film. Okay, it's Maniac from 2012. Okay, and why am I talking about this remake of William Lustig's gritty 1980 original starring the inimitable Joe Spinell as a crazed killer with mommy issues? Well, the reason I bring this up is that Arne Zetter's hard-bitten coyote character in Army of the Dead is easily one of the best things about the movie. And I was thinking, for those maybe who haven't seen anything else by Miss Arne Zetter, she's also in Maniac, in the 2012 remake. And I think it's interesting because she's playing a photographer who comes into the orbit of the psychopathic Frank, played by Elijah Wood in this version. And she's playing a relatively normal character in this film, whereas in Army of the Dead, she's more hard-bitten, she's more of a badass, she's more of a, you know, tough chick kind of character. And I love the exploited shirt she wears. But it's sort of like you want to see the polar opposite of her character in Army of the Dead. Check out her turn in Maniac. She's really good in that film, too. Okay. And while we're talking about actors and their performances, I would recommend Bushwick from 2017. I gotta say, Dave Bautista is best when he's a grizzled enigma, a few words, or a sarcasm-deprived warrior from another world. And for a good example of his grizzled enigma persona, check out this what-if scenario of a militia taking over the titular New York neighborhood. Unlike Army of the Dead, which leaves Bautista to struggle with a character that alternates between subdued and overly sentimental, here he's playing a much more survival-minded character. I kind of don't get why his character doesn't seem as survival-minded in Army of the Dead, and why there's a lack of urgency in his character in Army of the Dead. It just seems strange to me, and I'm guessing that goes back to the writing department on the film for kind of dropping the ball with that. He's ostensibly the leader in this situation, but he doesn't really give off the real qualities you look for in a leader, which is leads to kind of a jarring experience, I think. Whereas in Bushwick, you know, he says so much with kind of his body language, and less through words than body language, and how he acts and how he reacts. And I think it's a fantastic film that uses kind of a faux one-take conceit for about 90 minutes, and it's a film that starts really strong and doesn't let up, and it does convey this, it paints this really convincing picture of an apocalypse, I think, and I think on that level it's a very intense film that I feel doesn't really get talked about as much as it should. So by all means, check it out if you haven't already. And if you're a fan of Bautista, check it out. Okay, and maybe we can call this section settings. I'm thinking a lot about how Army of the Dead was set in Vegas, which sort of leaves open a lot of satirical and conceptual potential, And the fact that the film largely takes place inside a casino where our heroes are trying to break into a vault and get the millions inside, et cetera, seems like it has a lot of potential. Unfortunately, I don't feel that that potential is really acted upon too well. So here are a couple films that revolve around casinos, revolve around mercenaries, just characters within some sort of stage of criminal enterprise. And the first film I'm going to mention is Ocean's 11 from 2001. This film is just interesting from Steven Soderbergh, who got his start doing very small budget indie films that were very character based, but it's interesting to see his bigger budget work and his Oscar courting work, which is still just as much based in character as it is in concept. And I think, it's cool that he can alternate between some low budget film like Unsane, and then do something like Logan Lucky, which is a bigger budget with bigger stars. And things of that nature. So I think Ocean's 11 just is one of the coolest heist films ever made. It really shows Soderbergh's ability to juggle pace, aesthetic, and a large ensemble cast without ever losing sight of the primary objective. The film just moves so fast. It's like 2 hours long, but it doesn't feel like it at all. It gives some really big stars a chance to kind of flex and be witty in ways that we hadn't really seen them be in other films. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's also not goofy either. There is a certain t intensity to it, even though it's not a violent film by any means. So it's very cool, and it does make really good use of the casino setting as part of its aesthetic and part of the way it weaves suspense and character and all these other elements of the plot into this very rich tapestry, I'll say. So anyway, the next film is a Smoking Aces, or I should say Smokin' Aces. There's no G on that, from 2006. This was from writer-director Joe Carnahan. Ugh. I'm adding letters where there shouldn't be letters. Joe Carnahan. And it's basically about a group of criminals descending on a Lake Tahoe resort to carry out a contract on a sleazy lounge magician played by Jeremy Piven. And I think what I like about Smokin' Aces is that the ensemble cast, the characters are so distinctive. All these criminals, and even the cops, represented by Ryan Reynolds and Ray Liotta, even those their characters have a distinctive rhythm to their dialogue, and a camaraderie. And what's cool about the criminals is that they're very unique without lapsing into cartoonishness. Though I guess I could picture Smokin' Aces getting turned into a graphic novel because it has that kind of aesthetic and sort of a exaggerated approach to its violence, even. But it's a really good film, and I think all the characters really log an impression. Whereas with Army of the Dead, I often felt like there were too many characters. I started to forget who people were. I obviously couldn't retain a lot of the characters' names or really remember what their purpose was in this whole mission or what their specialty was. So that's, again, I feel like that goes back to the screenwriting stage, and kind of this more is more aesthetic of Snyder's that's come across in other films of his as well, unfortunately. So in any case, but you also get Chris Pine before Star Trek playing a deranged neo-Nazi, so that's a bit of fun too in Smokin' Aces. Okay. And maybe my last casino-based film here is, well, I say film, your interpretation may vary as to what Twin Peaks The Return is from 2017. Some people refer to it as an 18-hour movie, other people refer to it just as a TV series. Whatever your interpretation is, David Lynch's 18-hour epic is a maze of riddles and alternate timelines that creates more questions than it answers. It also contains a far more creative use of a casino setting than Army of the Dead, which could have used less table flipping and more of that Dougie Jones charm. Hello! Okay, and next, another film that Army of the Dead reminded me of a lot was Escape from New York, and its rip-offs for that matter, of which there are many. There's a scene in Army of the Dead where the money man outlines the mission to our group of misfits and explains that the clock is ticking. And basically, instead of some tablets dissolving in our hero's arteries, it's a nuke strike on Vegas that sets the clock in motion. And in 1981, John Carpenter was working with a far lower budget, but he made the characters and the action come to life in a way that Army of the Dead just doesn't. There's that kind of low budget spirit that shines through. It's even in the costuming level, the stunt work. There's a certain rough and tumble quality to things that feels more real, and this was also a time that predated CGI and, being able to create landscapes out of thin air. I mean, these were all actual locations and, actual actors and actual people doing stunts. So, definitely Escape from New York, for that sense of urgency. And, I would even say, this may sound random, but Enzo Castellari's nihilistic yet fun Escape from the Bronx. It has an unconscionable 174 person death toll. The film is largely composed of people getting killed, and the plot is very slim. But even so, that film is fun in kind of its own perverse, sadistic way. So there's also that. And another film about criminal enterprise that I think takes an interesting perspective toward criminal enterprise, particularly cracking safes, is Michael Mann's film Thief from 1981. I mean, I could probably have mentioned any number of Michael Mann films as a comparison point, or that Snyder and his writers used as a comparison point for their Army of the Dead. Could have talked about Heat, which has a very epic feel and a larger cast. And the action direction is more ambitious, but I really like Thief's tale of a master safecracker played by James Caan, in that he's looking to leave his criminal past behind, and the story has more pathos and relatable drama than any of the contrived speeches that Bautista says to his daughter in Army of the Dead. There's just more interest in the nuts and bolts of criminal enterprise. And I think it's interesting because you often don't see a film that takes the notion of a character who is a criminal who wants to leave that behind and takes it as seriously as Thief's story does. So I think that's a good film, a very good character-based film. And just for fun, here are some recent zombie films, recent meaning, within the past 10, 15 years, that had a much lower profile and budget than the 90 million Army of the Dead, yet somehow managed to be much more innovative and fun, in my opinion, anyway. And they are The Battery from 2012. And it's a two-man zombie apocalypse with creativity to burn. You have sexy zombies and a station wagon siege, and that's just two reasons to check it out. There's a lot of innovation going on with this film, and it pleasantly caught me off guard. The things it does seemingly effortlessly to put new wrinkles within the zombie mythos and give us stuff we haven't seen before. Writer director star Jeremy Gardner is a bit of a personality within the indie horror scene right now, and he obviously knows what he's doing. So, The Battery. The next film is The Horde from 2009. I actually couldn't believe this film is 12 years old already. I thought it was much more recent. And it's just a far better fusion of action and horror than Army of the Dead. It's a French film that tells the tale of cops and criminals who are forced to team up against a zombie outbreak that leaves them seemingly trapped inside an apartment high-rise. So basically, this film would make a fantastic triple feature with The Raid and Dread, which came out a few years later. All three of these films are fantastic. Similar concept, yet each film does its own unique thing with the concept. And, you know, The Horde is really good, really strong characterization, really strong conflict and drama running through the whole thing, and the action is fantastic. Okay, and Wormwood, Road of the Dead from 2014. I believe this is an Australian zombie film, and it does wear the influence of George Miller with great pride. It's got humor, it's got gore, and the action blends with a sensibility that also recalls vintage Peter Jackson. Again, it's a really fun film that manages to have the gore, but it also has the good characters and a lot of innovation, what it decides to do with the zombie mythos. And maybe, finally, everybody should watch or rewatch Snyder's 2004 feature debut, Dawn of the Dead. At the time, there was a lot of contention about Hollywood remaking a film many horror fans considered a classic. I remember when I was sitting in the theater back in 2003 to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which I think kicked the door open proper for the horror remake craze, which we're still in the midst of. And there was a trailer for Dawn of the Dead, and I remember being just appalled on principle because I held Romero's 1978 film in such high regard. So go figure that my contention became surprise when Snyder's film turned out to be pretty damn good. Screenwriter James Gunn, his sense of humor and irony was nicely offset by Snyder's gritty gunmetal gray visual aesthetic. It was a really good fusion of director and script, I think. Capturing some of a bit of the humor of Romero's original, but kind of taking it in its own direction for the early 2000s. And I think the film delivered on its gory promise without sacrificing too much attention to character. It was an interesting cast, I remember there being something, I believe, from producer Eric Newman saying they didn't want Carmen Electra in this movie. And I thought that was kind of refreshing because you have Sarah Polley, who was largely known for her indie roles at that time, and Ving Rhames, who was, you know, always a reliable supporting actor, but never used too much in a starring capacity. But, you know, he has that formidable presence as well. So, you know, basically it was a lot of things really clicked together to make that film work in a special way. And I think, love it or hate it, in a manner not unlike George Romero's epic original, Snyder's Dawn of the Dead ushered in a sense of legitimacy and quality for the horror remake as a general concept. And love it or hate it, the remake is here to stay. So while the notion of him returning to the genre and the monster that made his early fame was exciting in concept, the reality of Army of the Dead is just one of disappointment for me. I didn't dislike it as much as Billy did, but I would still just give it 2 stars out of 5. The good stuff in the film, the stuff the film does well, is enough to make me frustrated that it, given its 2.5 hour runtime, its budget, and all the possibilities of its concept, that it just didn't do more with it. Which I guess goes back to that old argument that bigger budgets do not necessarily equal better movies, which is unfortunate. So, yeah. In any case, that brings us to the end of this episode. I rambled on a bit here, but I hope whether you liked or disliked Army of the Dead, that you found something of value to take out of this. And if not, that's cool too. you may go on living your life as you see fit. In any case, you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Johnny Numb. There are no H's in those Johnnies. And you can find my writing at CrashPalaceProductions.com because Billy is a nice guy. And you can also find my writing at The Screening Space. Shout out to Susan Layton, who is the proprietor of that wonderful site. Lots of great people over there talking about a wide variety of genres and just all sorts of cool stuff in regards to television and film at The Screening Space. So, thank you all for listening. Please feel free to let me know your thoughts on Army of the Dead, if you agree or disagree, or if you have any other films that you would suggest perhaps as alternatives to Army of the Dead that I might have missed. Please feel free to shout out to me at social media, on my social media handles on Twitter. So, yeah, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. I'll probably be with Billy next time. So, talk to you soon. Bye.